This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
There are a few better things in life than the opportunity to laugh at your most annoying rivals. And today, I've not just got one story, but two about Tottenham that you're going to enjoy. We've got transfers to talk about and some celebrations to be had with a trophy win for one of Arsenal's players. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me and making this a part of your morning routines. It's incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a fantastic week so far. It's Thursday. Thursdays are nice because it means that tomorrow is Friday. I don't want to get into a feeling of wishing away our lives, but it is something that I certainly think that we do all too often, is look ahead to what the next day is. But Friday is next, and that means the weekend begins, and then we've got Arsenal back on Saturday. So we're closing in very quickly on that reality of another Arsenal game. Three remain, of course, between now and the end of the season. And we think that for Arsenal to have any chance of winning the league, they're going to have to win all three of them, with Manchester City, of course, dropping points in one of their next four. So exciting times ahead, and I'm really looking forward to getting into the last 3 weeks of the season. But don't you worry, the show will be continuing forwards right through the summer and through all the transfer news. In fact, the Arsenal News Show, as you see it now, will, of course, be changing. We'll be swapping to the Arsenal Transfer Show. That happens every single time we get at the end of the season or a month before the January window starts. And this is episode 467 of the Arsenal News Show. Now, of the Arsenal Transfer Show, just doing a quick check down our preview list, we have done 450 something 429, although I think I may have not labeled some of the early ones that we did that series. But you know, there is a possibility that in the next 3 to 4 months we could be closing in on that 1000th episode of a morning show. So I'm just going to keep that in mind. I might have a quick check on the numbers, and I know that I've missed out some dates and repeated some shows, so it may not be the proper 1000th 8 a.m. show, because we've also done loads of raw reaction shows, you may remember as well, which don't get numbered either. So we're closing in, I think, in this summer on the 1000th 8 a.m. show. I don't know if I need to do anything for that, celebrate that somehow, but that's quite the feat. 1,000 shows at 8 a.m. consecutively, barring a few days like the day after my wedding, for instance, or food poisoning day was another one I think we missed. But other than that, it's been quite the journey. So if you could drop a like on the video and subscribe, I'd be incredibly appreciative of you. Morning to Amesy, to Matt G, to Blackshine Damien. Something we do in every single one of those 1,000 shows is say hello to everybody joining us in the chat box, or as many people as I can, at least in the chat box. Glenn, C, Stephen, Steve, Cena, Paul, Angela, Emmett, Boss Bulla, Bakary Lasagna, Damien, Mr. Reed, Talib, Martin, Rich, Maximius. We've got Paul, we've got iGrow, we've got Kaiser and Chad. Thank you to all of you and more for tuning in. It is incredibly appreciated indeed. King says, we need a celebration party for the 1,000th show. Maximus says, you could sing the Waka Waka song. You know the deal. I've made a deal with you all. The Waka Waka will be sung if Arsenal win the league, and no sooner than that. Shall we jump into today's stories? We've not got loads to talk about. It's getting to that point of the season, of course, where there isn't any midweek games and the transfer window's not open yet, but we've got some stories to talk about, and we start with laughing at Tottenham, which I know that you all enjoy. Borussia Dortmund beat PSG last night in the UEFA Champions League to round off a really exciting week of Champions League action. We saw Bayern Munich draw 2-2 with Real Madrid, and giving Arsenal something of what could have been had Bayern Munich not been able to beat and knock out Arsenal from the competition during this season. Arsenal getting to the quarterfinals for the first time in 14 years with Mikel Arteta, first time of asking, reaching that stage of the competition. But Borussia Dortmund, by winning their game, has dented Tottenham's hopes of qualifying for the Champions League next season. The win of Borussia Dortmund means that because a German side won one of the games in this round of the European competition and tournaments, Tottenham will not be getting into the Champions League if they finish in fifth place in the Premier League. The Bundesliga instead, and Borussia Dortmund, who are certainly more deserving of the feat, will instead qualify through a fifth place finish for next year's Champions League. Tottenham needed no German side to win any of their last or this round of games in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League, the Europa League, and of course the Conference League, although I'm not sure there are any German teams in the Conference League. And also they would have needed Aston Villa to win the UEFA Conference League for that to happen. Quite the feat, and it's fallen at the first hurdle, as Tottenham so often do, with Dortmund winning, and that means the Bundesliga will get that fifth spot into the Champions League. And, you know, for all those Premier League snobs that call the Bundesliga and Serie A and Liga, all these farmers' league, as they put it, Mats Hummels, I think it was putting a tweet out after Borussia Dortmund progressed into the semi-finals of the Champions League with Bayern Munich, of course, as well, and Bayer Leverkusen getting to the semi-finals of the Europa League too. It seems as though these leagues aren't too bad at all, are they, considering they're getting more qualification spots than the Premier League is and getting further than the likes of Arsenal, Manchester City, Spurs and all the other teams as well. Aston Villa, the only English side left in European competition, and that is in the Conference League, of course. Now, Mika Bereth is the player that we've got something to celebrate with. Sturm Graz beat Rapid Vienna 2-1 in the Austrian Cup final. Mika Bereth has become an intrinsic part of Sturm's side over the course of the season since January. And unsurprisingly, he, of course, was involved in this game, playing on the right-hand side, actually, despite being more so of a striker. Xhaka played up top. Horvat got a goal playing from the left. And they played a 4-2-3-1 formation with Bereth playing more so on the right hand side, but he's impressed this season, and he's been very, very good for me, for Sturm Graz. And there's certainly interest on the Austrian side in keeping Mika Bereth beyond the course of this season. He has a contract with Arsenal. Sturm Graz actually wanted to sign him on a permanent deal in January, but Arsenal said no. I don't necessarily see a future for him at Arsenal, especially with some of the young striker coming through like Chido Obi-Martin, for instance. But it is certainly an opportunity for Arsenal to make a significant improvement of the fee that they might have got a year ago had they have sold him then, or even 6 months ago after his spell with Motherwell in Scotland. He is a frequent goal scorer, and he's clearly a player that can play on the European stage and score plenty of goals in the UEFA Conference League whilst playing with Sturm Graz. Really good six-month loan spell for Bereth. One to look out for. Is he going to be involved in pre-season? I guess we'll have to wait and see with the European Championships on. Does mean that some Arsenal senior players aren't involved in the pre-season tour, so maybe there's space. I guess we'll have to wait and see. And now, why does everyone care so much is my question. Now, Ben White, of course, was clipped up and videoed and publicised and basically turned into a bit of a viral sensation this week because of his antics with Vicario during the North London Derby. The Arsenal fullback was seen trying to undo the gloves and take the mick a little bit out of Vicario. And that has led to a number of articles and videos and tweets and breakdowns of Ben White's antics in the opposition penalty box. I don't think I've ever seen any player get as much attention for what they do in an opposition penalty box. And I can tell you for a fact, players do this all the time. There's always loads of antics going on inside of penalty boxes during set pieces, try and unnerve the opposition to try and get to the goalkeeper. I think that the biggest attention, the biggest focus of this incident should have actually been on Ange Postecoglou, because at no point did Ange Postecoglou dictate his players to try and stop Ben White's antics, to try and stop putting off the defenders, because ultimately they conceded two corners during the North London Derby, which proved very damaging to their hopes of getting anything from that game. nothing was done. And Ben White continued with his antics and will, I'm sure, continue. Will this mean a higher level of scrutiny on Ben White in future games? Will his behaviour be picked up on by referees a lot more? Perhaps. I guess we're going to have to wait and see. For me, and to be fair to Ange Postecoglou, who came out in a press conference yesterday, also said he doesn't really care. It's just a point to talk about. He doesn't want his players reacting to it. It's all part of the game. It is part of the game. It's just one of those things. Stuff happens in the box all the time. Trust me, speak to any former players and they'll tell you about the antics of different players in either penalty box. But because it's Arsenal, of course, because it's us and because it's Ben White, they get more attention than perhaps any other players at any other club might do for antics that they do in the opposition penalty box. But everyone seems to care plenty. Spurs fans have been crying over it for a couple of days now. But I hope Ben White continues it and hope he continues to get away with it as well. Now, we need to talk about one final story, which is Bruno Guimarães, the Newcastle and Brazilian central midfielder. Sammy Motbel of the Mail has considered him one to watch for the summer regarding a potential switch to Arsenal. I've certainly heard some really positive things about the potential of this player and links to Arsenal. Arsenal's interest dates back well far in the past, a fair few years, in fact, when he was playing in Brazil with Athletic Paranense before he switched to Lyon and then before that switched to Newcastle, of course. Arsenal have always been and have always had an interest in Bruno Guimarães. And I can tell you from my perspective, at least, that has not diminished going into this season. And that's why respected people like Sammy Motbel as well are certainly reporting as such, because from my perspective, there is indeed that interest in there. I know there's been some conflicting reports by other respected journalists as well, but from my side of things, I've certainly heard that there is interest from Arsenal and that he is a player that certainly should be one that fans can keep an eye on going through this window as Arsenal look to try and sign a midfielder. So let's wait and see what happens. But he's a player I like a lot. I don't particularly like his personality loads, but you know, maybe if he was doing what he was doing in an Arsenal shirt, we'd think rather differently of it. That's the biases of the world that we, of course, do live in. Right, let's go to part two and your questions then right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right then, part two, which means we're going to tackle your questions, your thoughts, your theories and queries in the chat box. I did want to kick off with Orlando's comment. It says, finally made it to a live show. I've just had to physically come to the UK, who clearly must be on holiday. Just tried the chocolate cake yesterday, Tom, from Nando's. Great recommendation. Gracias. You are very welcome. And thank you to all of those that have been trying out Nando's. Of course, I assume the main motivation being the Saka sauce that is currently available in Nando's here in the UK chain of the restaurants. But if you've been taking my recommendations of trying the chocolate cake as a dessert from a chicken place, usually, because it goes under the radar. People don't tend to pick up desserts from these places, but it's so good to see so many of you guys and girls checking out the chocolate cake from Nando's, because it is by far the best chocolate cake I have ever tried. And you wouldn't expect it to come from there, but it does. Let's jump up in the chat box a little bit more, though, shall we? And tackle some more of your thoughts. Alpha says, standing on toes, arms over shoulders, tugging on shorts, a finger in the ear. It happens all the time from those corners. Chris says, hi, Tom. I've heard that the deal is not possible due to RC being only until the 30th of June and Arsenal need to wait until the 1st of July for the new year and the profit and sustainability. This is, of course, the release clause of Bruno Guimarães, which sits at £100 million. Now, Chris, I should tell you that that release clause that is involved in Bruno Guimarães' contract is not necessarily expected to be the expectation of Newcastle should they get into any discussions with clubs about his deal. Arsenal also could come to an agreement with Newcastle before that July 1st date, and then the deal go through after that date so that it shows up on the different accounting books regarding profit and sustainability. So it's worth taking into account that can also be done. Daniel says, love Ben's tactics, but shows how much we have killed the Spuds mentality. If it was the other way around, they would be singing about it. Indeed, they would. Frank says, it's Frank from Kenya. Let's say that you're Edu. Which players would you sign to improve the Arsenal team? Ah, the golden question. Which players would you sign going into this transfer window? Well, Arsenal, of course, from a striker perspective, my number one is Alexander Isak, closely followed by Victor Gyökeres. In terms of a wide player, Xavi Simmons is my pick as well. And in terms of a central midfielder, Youssef Fofana at Monaco would be the one that I'd be looking to try and sign going into this window. And a defender, well, there's a few that I quite like. Yoel Hato at Ajax has certainly been very impressive despite his very young age. Ousmane Diamande as well, another one to look out for. So there are picks that I would go for. Dirk says, would you rather take Bruno or Isak? Oh, Isak, all day long. And then would you rather Bruno or Kimmich? Kimmich. Sign me Kimmich and Isak, and that is two excellent additions to the squad. Maximus says, Tom, have you seen Richarlison tweeting the TikTok video, the best Brazil striker versus the worst Brazil defender, something like that, and your thoughts on the Spurs DJ playing the playing Munich at the end of the game? I don't really have any thoughts on that, but what I do think is the video of Richarlison, it just shows you the saltiness, doesn't it? At the end of the day, so it's the saltiness. I'm just checking out this article on the DJ thing. Tottenham Stadium DJ blast music to drown out Arsenal's wild celebrations after their thrilling... Wow, that's a terrible typo in the headline. Their thrilling North London derby win, and the song was a jab at the Gunners' Champions League exit. Oh, I see. So they played Munich at full time as a jab. Well, I mean, at least we're in the Champions League, guys. You know, you want to take the mick out of Champions League participation, you've got to be in it to do that. It's pretty sad. Processes, Tom, do you think Newcastle's financial struggles are being blown out of proportion? Yes, they are. I mean, City has navigated FFP for years. Why can't Newcastle do the same? It is being blown out of proportion. There's this obsession that Newcastle apparently need to sell in the summer. It is nowhere near as pressing as what some people are making out it to be. There is certainly need to bring in some money, but it's nowhere near as desperate as what some people are trying to make out. But Arsenal could still exploit that situation. Matt G says, Tom, do we have to worry about Ben White turning into a Xhaka player? And by that, I mean the player that refs scrutinise the most and are more likely to be booked. There is definitely a concern, Matt, that that might exist. There's going to be a frustration, I think, from referees that maybe a player is getting away with more than they should, and because it's being brought into the limelight. And don't think for a second that there is innocence behind the extra attention, the extra publicity. The Premier League Twitter account actually posted the incident between Vicario and Ben White over the course of the last couple of days. You may have seen it on your timelines. I have never seen anything of the like. At the end of the day, like, if we're being very blunt about it, like, it's not meant to do it. It's antics that any player does. And so for the official Premier League account to be posting the images of Ben White messing around with Vicario, it's from my perspective at least, and maybe I'm being a bit naive and ignorant, I've not seen other posts of a similar making, but I've not seen any similar posts of a similar making whatsoever. The Premier League's Twitter account posting it, I would be surprised if there's nothing in terms of an ulterior motive regarding bringing attention to that and bringing attention to this, because I think people would want it more scrutinized. I think people want to see it cracked down on, and I think that maybe there is, despite it being talked about in light-hearted terms, actually something a little bit more sordid beneath that. Nick says, good morning, Tom. I won the Lee Dixon signed shirt instant win prize yesterday. Keep up the great work. Well, congratulations, Nick. I'm so glad it's gone to one of our listeners. It's great when we hear news of you all picking up those prizes. That's fantastic. Akish says, I read a tweet about Mohamed Kudus having a release clause. I'm not sure how much it is, but it would be an interesting one. Would you make a bid? I'm not sure either how much Mohamed Kudus's release clause is. I don't know if there's an article that can tell me. Mohamed Kudus release clause. He was signed for $38.5 million. I don't see any speculation about how much this release clause is. 85? No, that's Paqueta. Doesn't seem that it's forthcoming from a quick Google, I'm afraid. I'd imagine it's still pretty significant, probably the 70s to 80s, if not more. Would I sign Kudus? I would have signed him at Ajax. You guys know, listening to the show back in the summer, that I was a big, big fan and still am a big fan of Mohamed Kudus, and see him as a potential option and saw him as a potential option then as well. He is a really talented player and one that I would have liked to have seen at Arsenal in the summer as well. So if there's a potential to sign him and be a competitive option in the forward line for us, I think we should absolutely try and go and do that. Paul says it's widely reported that Richarlison is suffering with some mental health problems, and all he's done is put them on public display. I don't necessarily agree with you, Paul, here. Just because somebody has openly admitted to suffering with some mental health problems does not mean that they can't make a joke online. At the end of the day, it is a joke. He's then, I think, apologised for it. But to bring his mental health into it, Paul, I don't think that is the classiest thing in the world. TJR says, could be worse. In Peru, one team cut the power to the stadium lights to dampen their rivals' celebrations. That's amazing. I absolutely love that. Sean says, Tom, I was at the North London Derby undercover in the home stand, and the amount of moaning was exhilarating. I don't know if you have seen Perry Groves and the video of Perry Groves being somewhat criticised by the Tottenham home fans for celebrating in the press box. Now, as someone who is in the press box relatively regularly and has certainly broken character and given a little bit of a fist pump inside the Emirates, but, you know, admittedly, I remember that game at Aston Villa. You all may remember that game at Aston Villa where Jorginho managed to smack the ball off the back of Emi Martinez's head to score a last-minute winner. Well, that game, certainly there was some celebrations, muted celebrations, some, you know, dampened celebrations from us inside the press box. It was difficult when you're in the 90th minute and you score a winner, but more so from the Arsenal coaching and analytics staff as well in the press box that day. It's honestly, I think that people are just a little bit too sensitive in that regard. I think there's reason to be sensitive about certain things, but in that regard, my goodness me, throwing their toys at the pram a little bit. He gave a little bit of a fist pump, did Perry Groves, from what I saw in that video. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But there were people seething about a little fist pump. Where is the world coming to? Ben says, Tom, could you help settle an argument for me? A friend of mine who's a Madrid fan is convinced that he would displace Saka in our team, even out of position. What are your thoughts? Who? Oh, Rodrigo, sorry. I don't think Rodrigo would displace Saka on the right-hand side at all. I think that he'd come in as a very competitive option. I like Rodrigo a lot. He's a very talented player. And I think that both of them are certainly in the same bracket. But he wouldn't come in and replace Saka, I don't think. But you can try and settle that as an argument with me saying that. But there's the caveat that I am an Arsenal fan. So I may have undiscovered biases as well. Gary says, I'm a Newcastle fan and Bruno does not want to go to London with his family. He has purchased a house for $4 million that doesn't look like a player moving rumours. He's pledged to another year. Of course, Gary, I've known stories of plenty of players to buy houses in their local areas before a transfer has happened very soon after, to the surprise of their close ones. It doesn't rule it out. It certainly is a signal that his future, immediate future at least, certainly seems to lie with Newcastle. But there are certainly whispers and suggestions that I've heard that if a Champions League club was to come in and offer a very good price for Bruno, I don't think he'd have too many issues selling a house either. Or, you know, if indeed he needs to buy another one, he's on a very good wage and he would continue to be on a very good wage if he was to move to a Championship side. But I absolutely understand where you're coming from. Winning Ways says, Xavi is a shout, but I can't see Arsenal spending that money when we need a striker. We will probably end up using Jesus in a swap deal with cash or spend no more than 50 to 60 million on a winger. I think that the Jesus situation is an interesting one. I think it's split the crowd somewhat, people thinking that he should stay. And I think I empathise with both points of view. If Arsenal can replace him really well, great. If you can't, I think he's a great depth player to have in the squad. The minimum, Eddie Nketiah should be moving on this summer, as well as probably Reece Nelson as well. But at the end of the day, Jesus has not scored enough goals. He can't necessarily be relied upon from an attendance standpoint because of injury issues. If Arsenal can replace him effectively, they certainly should look to try and do that. Jason says, hi, Tom. Do you think Bruno would bring Partey's vision with through passes that break those lines? In my opinion, as solid as he is defensively, I would prefer someone who can do that like a Zubimendi. Look, from my understanding and certainly of watching Guimaraes in obviously more limited capacity to others, his passing is very good. His progressive passes per 90 of 7.42 in the 90th percentile of progressive passes for players in the top five leagues is very, very good. He's also very good on the ball. He's the 98th percentile for central midfielders in terms of successful take-ons. He's 90th for shot-creating actions as well at 3.79 per 90. So yes, his passing abilities are very, very good indeed, and it would not dissuade me at all from what I've seen so far from bringing him into the team. Let's go to Clive, who says, Clive Hutchby says, Guimaraes is a hot-headed thug. Elbow in the back of Jorginho's head. Tom, why would we buy such a toxic player? Clive, I recommend watching back some of Kai Havertz's headlines and highlights from this season. The tackle at Newcastle being a good example. The shove on James Maddison as recently as the North London Derby, Clive. Some players are a little bit more physical than others. I absolutely get where you're coming from with that tackle on Jorginho. It's definitely a red card. But in that same game, there was arguably a red card challenge from Havertz in that fixture as well. So some players just have a little bit of an edge to them. I wouldn't call him a thug. I think that probably does genuine thugs and their ill practices a little bit of a disservice in terms of their own thuggish nature. He's just got certainly hot-headed, I'd go for. I don't think that's inaccurate in any way. But we've got our own share of hot-headedness in our team. So I don't think thug is the right way to describe it in any way, shape or form. And to be honest, sometimes having a little bit of a nasty streak in your team isn't too bad. And I think Arsenal have lacked that edge in them sometimes. And now I think actually we've got that. The dark arts is something that Arsenal have lacked. And I think most teams that go on to win titles and win trophies have that element. Manchester City are one of the most regular professional foulers in the league. It is a quality that gets you somewhere. But I wouldn't describe it as thug. I think that's a bit harsh. Nathan says, hey, Tom, would you make any rotation to the team until the end of the season? And if yes, which one? At the moment, we've got one game every single week. The only player that I see potentially coming into the starting lineup is Jurrien Timber, of course, who I expect to be in the squad on Saturday afternoon. I'm very much looking forward, hopefully, to see him back with the group. Mikel Arteta's press conference is tomorrow, by the way. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him get some opportunities, get some minutes, and I hope that he has a really successful reintegration into the squad. But other than that, I don't necessarily see anyone else coming in. Trossard should be starting, Havertz should be starting, Saka, Odegaard, Partey, Rice, White, Saliba, Gabriel, and Raya. Tomiyasu and Timber are the only two really that I look at and think, yeah, maybe we could rotate a little bit as well. But at the moment, we don't need to make any changes. Things have been going very well indeed. James says, hi, Tom. West Ham will have a £5 million incentive if Arsenal win the league because of Declan Rice's add-ons. Now, James, I'm not sure if that's entirely accurate. Of course, Arsenal signed Declan Rice for £100 million plus £5 million in add-ons. I don't know, nor am I aware, if that £5 million incentive is if Arsenal win the league. Now, I would be shocked if some of that money was not involved in Arsenal winning the league and Declan Rice picking up the win. But I'm not 100% sure of what the add-ons are. Doing a quick Google search into this, there was an article back in 2023 of July. Kaveh Solikov of Sky said the add-ons will be paid depending on Arsenal's consistent qualification for the Champions League. It doesn't say. It says every time Arsenal qualify for the Champions League, with Rice starting at least 60% of the games, the Gunners will owe West Ham £1 million. This is capped at a maximum of five, hence the total of £5 million. So no, it turns out from that article at least, it doesn't seem to be that there's any relation, James, to that £5 million relating to Arsenal needing to win the Champions League. But thank you for raising that point. I think that's an interesting one to understand. Luke says there's over 1,000 viewers right now and only 200 likes. I'm no mathematician, but something doesn't add up here. Come on, team, it's free. Thank you, Luke, for that kind motivation to the listeners. It is free and it does help us out a hell of a lot. So thank you so much for those that have already dropped a like, and for those that haven't yet, please do. It really does help us out as we try and reach 1,000 likes on every single morning show here at TGT Towers. Namdi says, who knew we would be talking about Havertz over Jesus at the beginning of the season? This makes me believe Arteta, so I don't care who comes in. The players will ball like his mates do. Come on, you Gooners. And I actually think you're spot on. You know, I have a number of discussions with people about signings. I think we talked a little bit about Marcus Rashford, some people's aversion to wanting to sign Marcus Rashford. Well, from my perspective, whoever Arsenal look to sign, my instinct is to defer my knowledge, my understanding, my preferences to Arsenal at this point. They've shown me the reasons as to why I should be trusting them. They've shown me the reasons as to why we should be going for the players we're going for. Despite the fact that some people spoke really disparagingly and sometimes abusively about the signing of Kai Havertz, he has put their faces firmly down in the mud this season. So I think that we all have to be a little bit humble and lose the arrogant streaks that you saw from plenty of critics in the summer and look at this signing of Havertz as a case study in why we should trust somewhat what Arsenal are doing in the market. Ashmar says, would you take Pedro Neto? Not as a starter, but as a depth option to have similar effects to Trossard because of his injury proneness. I'm not sure. I think the investment that it would take to get Neto is not going to be outweighing the side of the injury issues that he's got. So that's worth pointing out. Isu says, Tom, would you rather take Xavi Simmons or Musiala? And who do you think will become cheaper? Xavi Simmons is a fantastic talent, but Musiala is already an established Champions League starting Bayern Munich established figure. So Musiala, without a doubt, is the better player, but I'm not sure that Arsenal are in the market for him. Manchester City, scarily enough, seem to be a more likely destination for him, but I would take him in a heartbeat without question. Scrolling up a little bit more, because I'm sure I missed some of the other questions. Winning Way says, I would sell Trossard in the summer. He's 29 to 30 and we would get decent money for him, and I don't really rate him. He's okay, but to win stuff, we need elite players. That's a crazy take. You look at the games that Leandro Trossard has scored in for Arsenal. If you want a player that's going to help us win elite stuff, we need experience in the squad. I get your point about age, but actually we have quite a young squad. We can afford to have a couple of players that are 29, 30 and beyond, and actually we need their experience. This is a mad take. He scored against Bayern Munich. He scored against Porto in that really important game at the Emirates, of course, as well. He scored in big games like the Liverpool game. He scored that third goal. You know, he scored away at Brighton in that 3-0 win. He scored against Chelsea, of course, in our 5-0 win. The first goal, that 4 minutes in, that got us kicked off in that regard. Scored a brilliant goal against Wolves when we were at 0-0 as well. I think that's a crazy take from Winning Wage yourself. I think he's a really important player for this team, and actually will be in the squad next season as a very important figure. As we go and try and win the league, who is starting for you on the left wing in the final games of the season? It's not Martinelli. As we try and win our final three games, the man that starts on the left, without too much debate, is Trossard. And that's starting for the... Remember we talked about before that I really did kind of knock back this idea that Trossard is better coming off the bench? Well, I would think if you were to put a vote out there to Arsenal supporters who they would be starting at left wing in these final three games if they could only choose between Martinelli and Trossard, I think the argument would heavily lean towards Leandro Trossard. So, yeah, that's a crazy take. And by the way, as someone who turns 30 this year, that was incredibly insulting. Lee says, what centre-backs would you take? Ousmane Diamande, Lee, I think, is the one that stands out. Edmund Tapsoba, by the way, another really interesting one at Bayer Leverkusen, who's had a fantastic season for them. Yeah, a lot of you saying, Amy says, Leo sell. Oh, no, he is a team player. Izzy says, sell Trossard? No way. Jay says, Trossard is literally winning things for us. MM says, Leo is arguably the best left wing in the running of all the teams. It's a great point. He's been better than Diaz. He's been better than Grealish and Doku. I think you raise an excellent point, MM. I think that's a really, really important point. Omar says 30 years old with a zipped mouth emoji. Logan says Trossard is awesome. Keep him for sure. Unknown one says Trossard is a quality player, to be honest, as well. And Amesy says, oh no, he is too much of an important player in our team. It's likely that Partey will probably be moving on in the summer. Arsenal will be losing the likes of Eddie Nketiah and Reece Nelson, who have been at the club for a long time. Elneny is going to be moving on. Cedric is going to be moving on. You may laugh at those things, but Arsenal are losing some incredibly experienced figureheads in the dressing room. And so keeping some of the more experienced heads like Jorginho, like Trossard, is going to be really important. It's also another reason why I would sign Joshua Kimmich in the summer to add another experienced figurehead to the dressing room, whilst I don't think there necessarily is an obvious candidate at central midfield for Arsenal to sign. So for me, Leandro Trossard has been excellent and should certainly be kept going forwards. But let us know what you think down in the chat box. Jonathan Daly says, how much would we get for Tom? Is that me? How much would you get for me? I'm not going anywhere. You can't buy me. I'm priceless. Sloggy Bear says, Selwyn, Nketiah, Nelson, Smith-Rowe, sadly Partey. Tierney, Cedric and Elneny will be gone. Ramsdale, hopefully, will get good money for them. I've actually written a piece this morning on the 11 players, I think, whose futures are relatively uncertain going into this summer window. You can read that on the football.london website in a little bit more detail as to my thoughts on why those players obviously look like they'll be moving on. I've not included the likes of Cedric and Elneny because their contracts, of course, will be expiring. And Sloggy Bear says, I reckon we'd get 500 million. Well, that's very nice of you indeed. No one's worth that amount of money. Winning Way says, Trossard's performances are too hot and cold. I find his decision-making off-putting. Something like against Bayern in the last 2 minutes, he's trying to draw past two players. I'll assume that you would probably sell Bukayo Saka then for that reason, because I'm telling you for now, sometimes Bukayo Saka's decision-making can be hot and cold. Think about the Bayern game, which you use as an example. If you were looking at a player for questionable decision-making, I think Bukayo Saka in that Bayern Munich last 5 minutes certainly comes into the frame. So be careful what you wish for. He also says Trossard is way too greedy. This is the player, by the way, that got more assists at the end of last season in the last 6 months than any other player. I wouldn't describe him as too greedy at all. EV says, hi, Tom. Question, how many pens have we had this season? If Havertz had taken all of the penalties this season on top of his goals, would he be the top scorer in the league and player of the season? I don't know if he'd be that, but I can tell you that in 2024, he's currently leading the way in terms of goal contributions, of non-penalty goal contributions at least. So he's doing excellently. He's up there with Arsenal's candidates for player of the season. There are six of them. Havertz, White, Gabriel, Odegaard, Saka and Rice are those six candidates for player of the season. Dan says, Latte Firms offered me a Nando's meal and a one chocolate cake for Tom's services. I declined, so he's staying. 12 natters is part of the release clause. Do love a pasta de nata. Pasta de natas are excellent if you've never had one. Little custard Portuguese tarts, they're excellent. HB says, how much do you reckon it'll cost me to get Mudryk out of Chelsea this summer? I don't know. Probably not loads. Probably 40 to 50 million might get the job done, but I don't think I'd do it. I don't think that's possible. Cass says, scored his first goal against Wolves away, and more importantly, Anne Hathaway enjoyed it as well. No way we're selling Trossard. Indeed, you're spot on. Jason says, who would make the league's team of the season from Arsenal for you, Tom? I think obviously Declan Rice and Rodri make that midfield two. Cole Palmer would obviously be, I think, the player that would go on the right-hand side. Odegaard would be the 10 in a 4-3-3. Other Arsenal players would include Gabriel, Ben White, Saliba. I'm really struggling to look at other centre-halves as having as good of a season as those three. Gabriel's been better than Saliba, I think, for sure. Van Dijk, you could argue, maybe goes in over Saliba. So it could be Van Dijk and Gabriel. Ben White certainly is my right-back of the season. I think in terms of a goalkeeper, I mean, Raya has got the golden glove. I think Vicario's had an excellent season for Spurs. I don't like including Spurs players, but I think he's probably been one of the best goalkeepers in the league. He's been better than Raya. He's got less clean sheets, but you know, Raya does have a much better defence in front of him than Vicario does. I think I'd slightly edge towards Vicario probably for goalkeeper of the season. Left back, it's certainly not going to be an Arsenal player. Again, another Spurs player, Destiny Adoji's had an excellent season. Beyond that, I'm struggling for left back in terms of anybody else. I don't really want to put Adoji in, but I think he might be up there as a potential option. Even Aston Villa, no. Again, not necessarily. Yeah, difficult. Maximus says, Tom, the other day Dan Potts was discussing that he had a bet with Madison and Havertz on the football terrace. Seems like he's accepted defeat. Fair play to Danny Boy talking about it on another channel. You know, he's taken a lot of stick off me in the last couple of weeks, or last couple of months, to be fair, about that bet. So you've got to appreciate the humbleness. Got to think about where that £100 is going to be being donated to. Ambrose West says, that's the problem. Weekend fans thinking they have more expertise and knowledge than the Arsenal staff and coaching team is crazy. Some people just need to sit back and relax as well. Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, you have to defer your knowledge to the Arsenal team at the moment for what they've done and moving forwards and the progression that we've shown. It's not saying you can't be critical. I can't have an opinion. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with Arsenal and they've done some brilliant work to get us to where we are today. With that, I think that's quite a nice point to finish on. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Really appreciate your time. As always, make sure you drop a like before you leave and help us to 1K every single day. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. I think our preview show will also be tomorrow as well, probably around 5-6 o'clock UK time. So make sure you look out for that. Have a fantastic Thursday. Get through it. Stay safe. Stay well. Happy and respectful. And actually, you know, I say those words of stay safe, stay well, at probably a really key time, because for those of you that are unaware of news that broke yesterday, very, very sad news indeed, because we, Daniel Angerin, who is a 14-year-old that was sadly lost his life in a very horrific fashion in London, will, I hope, be celebrated at the Emirates this weekend. And yeah, I really hope Arsenal do something related to that. But never have those words of be safe and be well perhaps rung more true than when it hits very close to home. And I know that things which threaten your safety and your wellness all around the world are happening all the time. But obviously for those here in the UK and myself, it tends to hit a bit harder when things happen close to home. And yeah, so sad. A 14-year-old losing their life, as well as others involved in that awful incident as well. So thoughts are with the family and friends of young Daniel. And yeah, I hope that we see some tributes on the weekend. Absolutely awful. Sorry to end things on a little bit of a sadder tone, but it's important to talk about and reference these things, because it's the only way we're going to learn from them. But thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay well, happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dip in, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.